Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Welcome into the show. And let's try to attack the day a little bit more rationally than the 7-10 show. They got shook by news that isn't really news. It's just a report of a potential trade that may or may not happen. Just one ESPN personality suggesting what could occur lit these two on fire, particularly the guy sitting in the seat, Lance Zierlein. Very emotional about his favorite player. So Lance is gone, thankfully, for the rest of us. But Sean is here. And Sean, normally we talk Astros, you know, another win for them, a game under 500. Apparently reaching that point is now an accomplishment. Congratulations to them for doing that. But we know we've talked about this team. Get to 500, then we'll start to take you seriously. They're a game or at least a win away from doing that. They can get that this afternoon. But I'm giving you the choice, producer's choice. How do we start this show? Because if we were a TV show, we would do the previously on part of it, and then we would hear all of the back and forth between Aggies and Longhorns and Aggies who aren't suggesting that they're Aggies, but it feels like they're Aggies, although they'll tell you they went to Sam Houston State.
Bearcats sticking up for Aggies.
Certain, that seems normal, sure. Partied in both places, and Austin has pool on the street. That's what I remember from yesterday. So we'd have the previously on part of the show, and so that would lead us to continue to talk about the news that broke after the show is over, or we can talk about all the rocket scuttlebutt. There was a trade. After a big trade in the NBA, the Rockets made a trade as well to send some picks back to the Nets. And what does it mean for the Rockets? Well, we'll hear from Brian Windhorst about what it might mean a little bit later. Or coming up here. Depends on what Sean picks. So we can talk Astros, Schlossnagel, and he may be a scumbag, but he's your scumbag now. I'm not calling him that, but a lot of people have yesterday on the show, earlier on the John and Lance show, and also on the internet. That was the word of the day. That was the word of the day for Schlossnagel. He's a scumbag.
No one hasn't called him a scumbag.
Yeah, except for me. I'm the only one who hasn't actually called him that. I've used the word a lot, but I haven't actually called him that. And we can get into the willingness to just hold coaches up to a higher pedestal than they really should. They're just men. They will do things in their best interest. They will lie. Just because they coach football doesn't make them special as people. I've never understood holding them up because they're successful at a job they chose that they love. We don't treat CEOs that way. In fact, they get called scumbags all the time. Why does a coach need to be treated differently? We'll get into that. So, Sean, Schlossnagel, the Astros, or all the stuff surrounding the Rockets? Where do you want to start?
I kind of want to work myself up to Schlossnagel.
It's very fun to talk about Schlossnagel.
It is. It gets people going.
It does.
And kind of gets myself going now. Astros, I don't know.
It's whatever.
They beat the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean.
They scored all the runs in the first game.
It was 5-0, and they cruised to a win. You know, a lot of small ball. They smacked the Rockies around early and then won the game.
Hunter Brown, good job.
Hader gave up a home run late, but it's whatever.
Let's do Rockets. Let's do Rockets first. I know this. I guess it makes people less emotional than Schlossnagel if you're not Schlossnagel. Whatever. Just coach baseball. How about that?
Win a title. Now that you're with a real school, second place ain't good enough anymore, okay?
Yeah, let's talk about Rockets, because unless you're Lance Zierlein, this makes you less emotional than Schloss.
Thank you. That is true. So if you don't know, what happened late last night is the Knicks made a trade with the Nets to acquire Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges is a player that people have had the Rockets interested in. he was going to cost the Rockets at one point, Jalen Green and first round picks. It turns out maybe the Rockets made a good decision not to trade Jalen Green if you go by the month of March. Of course, the rest of the season, maybe you want Mikal Bridges on the team, but certainly not at the price the Knicks gave up. Gave up, what was it, 5 first round picks? They need, I think they're going to have to, they send Bogdanović back to him, and maybe a couple other players need to be included in the deal to make it all work money-wise for the Knicks. But they get another Villanova player, and the next news we heard was the Rockets making a trade with the Nets, too. The Nets, who are going to be really bad next year, it appears they don't have a reason to be better now that they have their own picks back, and the Rockets acquiesced or made a deal with the Knicks to Nets to give the Nets their picks back in exchange for the Suns picks. So here's the basis of the deal. The Rockets, who had the right to swap with the Nets for whatever the more favorable pick was, are giving the Nets the right to keep their pick back, and also the Rockets are receiving a Oklahoma City's first round pick in exchange for Phoenix's first round pick. Actually, let me read it from the start. In 2025, the rights to swap either their own first round pick or Oklahoma City's first round pick in exchange for Phoenix's first round pick. Phoenix's first round pick in 2027, and in 2029, the rights to the more favorable of either of Dallas's or Phoenix of the Suns first round picks, in addition to the right to swap their own first round pick. It's all very swappy picks as far as the Rockets are giving up or receiving. The big thing, as far as the news is concerned, is the Rockets are giving the Nets their first-round pick back in 2026, and they're also giving the Nets the right to take the 2025 pick wherever it lands. So the Brooklyn Nets have control of their picks back. The Rockets traded those away to get the power over the Suns picks that the Nets owned because they traded Kevin Durant to the Nets. All very legalese, like we're lawyers, but yes. In the end, the Rockets no longer have the Nets picks. They have the Suns pick. For the most part, I think they still control one of the Nets picks.
They have 2027.
Yeah, they still control one of the Nets picks. But the ones we deem most important when we expected the Nets to be bad, really, really bad, the Rockets don't have control over those anymore.
Yes. Basically, Cliff Notes, they traded a majority of their Nets picks.
For Suns picks.
For more Suns picks.
Definitely. And they're shorting the Suns instead of shorting the Nets.
Yes.
They expect the Suns to be bad when they have... when those picks from the Suns come up.
Yes. And before we go into the second part.
That was the initial thoughts coming out of the trade.
Yes.
Until we heard the Rockets were looking to add a star. Their first star mentioned was Kevin Durant. And then there was a backing away from it a little bit by Woj, because the thought is the Suns don't want to trade Kevin Durant at all. But they may, at some point, I guess, trade their franchise cornerstone years from now. In any case, the belief is the Rockets are in or really want a star. Kevin Durant is the first name up, and they're trying to entice the Suns with their own picks to make the deal. Because maybe the Suns assume they're going to be bad, and getting their own picks back would make some sense. That is all fine. It's all hypothetical, and this upcoming thing is hypothetical, too. But it didn't hurt. It didn't. It was just, hey, you know what? Having Kevin Durant here in exchange for picks, that might be pretty cool. But then Windhorst had to say something this morning. Something that I imagine a lot of Rockets people would push back on. Because it would suggest trading away your best young player for an aging star. This is what Windhorst said about the possibility of the Rockets acquiring Kevin Durant and what it might take.
Durant, to my knowledge, has not asked for a trade to Houston or anywhere else. Booker is fully invested in the Suns. But this move is bait. It is bait to the Suns to reconsider. And one thing I want to point out, watch what the Rockets do tonight with the number 3 pick. This is one of the most important moments in the draft, and in many cases this is where the draft kind of starts. If the Rockets take Donovan Clingan out of UConn, another center, which is an option for them, and now have a bunch of centers on their roster, that would potentially enable them to make Alperen Şengün, their very talented young Turkish center, available in that type of trade to dangle in front of the Suns. The Rockets are full go to improve dramatically now. Yes, they can offer this in the future, but now, and that's why they did this deal, now.
And to add to that, despite reports coming out of Phoenix that the Suns have no interest in trading Kevin Durant, and really more of a tweet than a report. There was a guy who breaks news for the Suns, or at least about the Suns. He was getting on a plane and said in response to the Woj tweet that this is not true. It's not happening. Stephen A. Smith this morning is saying that the Suns want to trade Kevin Durant right now. They want him out now, which mimics what Windhorst was saying about what the Rockets want. They want to make a trade now. So both sides want to make a trade now. Does that mean a trade will happen now, or will we be doing this the whole summer? But apparently both sides want to make a trade happen. So that's where we are. But the problem is the mention of everyone's favorite young center. The baby Jokic comps, the whatever you were using to make yourself believe that, and maybe rightfully so, that Şengün was going to be the next great big man in the league. Apparently, if we are to believe that Klingon is on the table at three, the Rockets may have different designs on his future. So that's where we are. Rockets, even though I stumble through all the trades, the Rockets have Suns picks. They want to use the Suns picks to acquire Kevin Durant, and they want to do it now. And the Suns would like to trade him now. And, of course, now means nothing if they can't agree on a deal.
Yes, and apparently, if you want to say, hey, both teams want to make this trade now, it is now. Why isn't there a trade?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe
they have to wait till the draft to make sure they get Donovan Klingon.
Yes, the Rockets have to hope, allegedly, if we're listening to what Windhorst has to say, that they can draft their center of the future and then trade their current center of the future for a 35-year-old, still really great player who they hope to elevate them to, I don't know, top six status with this current team. That's the rub. You could trade Şengün if you had an established star that you could pin Kevin Durant to. Unless the Rockets have a major offseason, as I throw in my own speculation, that Kevin Durant would be the first puzzle piece in attracting another star. We don't know, but that's where we are. The Rockets are making moves, or at least trying to make them a real force coming up here. I think the organization appears to be done with the slow build. All that stew you guys are hoping for, that slow bake, how many cooking references do I make before I actually get to my point? All that, let these guys play together and grow together. And at some point, we're going to have a force for the next decade. The Rockets are like, you think more of these players than we do. You think far more of them than we do. So it is certainly news. It is certainly interesting. We will maybe have some finality, at least in some regards, about who they want at three if they actually make that pick. By the way, that's in flux too, whether they even want to keep that pick or do they trade that as a package,
yes,
as part of a package for a star too.
Because there's other reporting, was it Kelly Yuko?
Yes.
That said that the Rockets might trade the third pick for Charlotte center Mark Williams and
the nine.
No, Memphis.
No, Memphis.
Nine.
Charlotte.
Six?
I think Charlotte.
Seven?
Somewhere around that. I'll look it up where Charlotte is. So, yes.
So
even then, that means that Rockets are acquiring another young center.
Yes. Or they take Reed Shepard at three.
Of course, if they keep
Gen Z Rex Chapman.
Yes.
Listeners of this show may know him as a Gen Z.
I've heard on other podcasts.
Uh-huh.
A Gen Z Mark Price.
A lot of people are saying it.
No, not what we're saying. Gen Z Mark Price, I've heard too.
Oh, Mark Price.
Yes. Got to go back to the 80s and 90s to get that reference.
Mark Price is a better player, but I prefer him to be Rex Chapman.
It's funnier if he's Gen Z Rex Chapman. If he's Gen Z Mark Price, then yes, make the pick. Keep that pick. For our narratives, Gen Z Rex Chapman makes
it's
a lot more sense.
Also, the Kentucky stuff makes
sense. Yeah, it all comes together. Thomas, we see you. You want to talk about the Rockets. We'll talk about them when we come back. Anybody else, 713-780-3776. We'll get to the Schlossnagel thing as well because it's funny and it's dramatic and it kicks off another portion of this rivalry. I'm sure the Aggies and the Longhorns hated each other in baseball too. They didn't. They definitely do now. And the center of it is a guy named Jim. of all things. We'll talk about that and more when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. If you want to get in on anything, 713-780-3776. But let's talk to Thomas. He wants to talk about the Rockets' potential trade, or maybe just the trade they made yesterday. What's up? What's up, Thomas?
Hey, what's going on, Bill? I also kind of listened to your bit at the or your question towards the end of the morning show, and so I'm a little torn because I guess Udoka brought confidence in the organization, and then after a year of Stone working with Udoka, I feel a little bit more confident in Stone. So it makes me want to be more patient with the team, and so give everyone more shots at with under Doka and let them, go through the talent and rate or grade the talent and decide who's going to stick around or whatever. But then going back to looking at recent history and our records and just only improving and being a sub 500 team, there's really not much to be patient about, right? Because what we see is the score isn't really, this elite talent better. Like kind of like the Celtics, they just need a vet or two to go jump to the next level. So then I do agree we need to make a trade for a big star. But then it goes back to I don't want to let go of Sagoon. I'd rather trade, Green or another, young talent. So that's a difficult, conundrum I find, and I guess we see the Rockets in. How they evaluate talent, trusting that they value Green over Sagoon and that kind of stuff. That's kind of my two cents. I'll hang up and listen. But I'll also say, how about that scumbag?
Thomas was the one who called Schlossnagel a scumbag yesterday. And turns out Thomas was just the first of many. As if you check on what happened online, as Jim Schlossnagel, now the manager, not even a manager. Once again, I forgot, they don't call college baseball coaches managers, they just call them coaches. He is the head coach of the Texas baseball program. So, to Thomas's first comment about my question, I posed a question to the morning show host about fast-forwarding this Rockets rebuild. And I suggested this because it was now about 20 years ago that Dwayne Wade was coming off a rookie year where the Heat won a playoff series, but they were bounced in the second round. Not a real contender, but they're a young team that people like. That Caron Butler, who was in his second year. That Lamar Odom, who they had acquired the offseason before from the Clippers. So that was a young basketball team who, fans are like, hey, we won a playoff series. Let's grow together. And Wade was clearly going to be the best player, but he wasn't Dwayne Wade yet. He was just coming off of a rookie year. And in the offseason, Pat Riley said, I'm done being mediocre. I don't care about how promising this young team is. I'm going to dangle a couple of these guys. But Wade was off limits. And go get Shaq. Shaq was 32 at the time. And they made a conference final, then won a final, then it all fell apart the next year. So they had a run about 2 years of being a contender. And that's probably what you might get with Kevin Durant playing at his prime. He's a better player than Shaq, even though he's older now. I think Shaq was 32 at the time. When the Heat decided to fast forward their future, I think the main difference is the Rockets don't believe, at least from what we can tell, don't believe they have a burgeoning superstar in Dwayne Wade. If Jalen Green was a better player, I would actually be like, you know what? I get it. If what Windhorst is saying is true. I don't know that it's true. It is just something he's suggesting, and he's saying taking Klingon at three would prove to be the first step in maybe a major trade that Sengun was involved in. I don't think the Rockets have a star in the roster that they would pair Kevin Durant with currently. Maybe Kevin Durant's simply the first move in a couple that changed the Rockets' trajectory because they could package other players and other picks. They got plenty if that's the move they wanted to make. It is a drastic turn from what we've been, but it's 4 years not making the playoffs. Now, you can assume that they're going to make the playoffs with the youth and adding another player, But this is the same team who was six games under 500 before Sengun, the crux of a potential trade, was injured. They caught fire and became a potential playing team until it fell apart late. They just ran out of gas. So maybe the Rockets don't think he, along with the rest of the group, is ready, and they don't care that they could be ready in 3 or 4 years to be a real contender. Because at that point, you're now talking about nearly a decade out of contention. Now, it could change quickly. Maybe you don't trade Sengun. Maybe you trade a couple of other players with picks, and you find a star. I'm just laying out the options. I don't particularly think the Sengun trade will happen. I think it's Windhorst trying to read tea leaves. But if he does that finger thing again, you might as well start doing the photo edits of a Sengun in a Suns uniform. He did not do the finger. Now, why would he do that? He hadn't done that yet. Now, why would they take Klingon?
He hadn't hit that tone.
Yeah, if he does the... Now, why would they draft Klingon? If he does that, wrap it up. But he hadn't done that yet, so maybe this is all for naught. But it is interesting to talk about, and we're just hours away now from seeing if the first part of his rumored deal is coming to fruition. If they do go against what most people think they're going to do, instead of taking Shepard, they take Klingon, then Windhorst and his speculation starts to gain some momentum, although Klingon by himself is someone some people thought pairing with Sengun would be fine with. I don't know about that fit, but people don't seem to think that could work. Hey, we're just talking here.
Yeah.
I ain't saying it's going to happen. Even Windhorst isn't saying it's going to happen. He's just saying, look out for it.
And there is a little bit of, like, we're just kind of drawn to the most inflammatory thing.
Yes, and trading Alpi is inflammatory. Even talking about it is inflammatory.
I mean, listen for to Rocket the morning fans. Show.
Yeah. Well, they're emotional.
But, I mean, there's also, like you said, Woj last night, can we just talk about Woj's performance last night?
Sure.
He basically made it seem like Kevin Durant was going to be a Rocket, like, this morning, and then 15 minutes later was like, actually, the Rockets are more interested in Devin Booker than they are Kevin Durant. Can we just, like, Woj, what are we doing?
Well, yeah, what Clean are we up. Doing?
There's not a 140 character limit. Like, you can write things out.
And it's almost as if he called Windhorst this morning and saying, look, I wasn't great last night. Pour the gas on this.
Yeah, can we get him talking about something else?
Yeah. Mention Sengun.
That's the red button.
mention that the Rockets want to win now. And say now a couple times. Let everyone know that it almost as if the Rockets want this to be an imminent thing. Take the heat off of me. And then I think he was on. And then Stephen A. was like, you know what? The Suns want to trade Durant now.
Even though, again, Woj last night, quote, for now, Phoenix is trying to win. That's the way he ended one of his tweets.
Well.
After listing everyone on their two best players and how about the Rockets want them. But they want to win right now.
Yeah. And
which, honestly, if if we just make it through this offseason without trading for one of these guys, I'll feel good.
Sorry, you heard him. Everybody wants to do something right now. Everybody wants to do something now, so it should happen right now. And if it doesn't happen now.
Right now. I'm waiting for an alert on my phone. Okay. I'm going to keep saying now until
it happens. Yeah. Do the whole show like that.
Right now.
Until it happens, we will continue to talk about it, and we welcome your conversation as well. The other news, and Thomas, you heard him, that we're going to get to when we come back, is the curious case of one Jim Schlossnagel. He is now the Texas head coach. He let it be known that it was selfish to even ask the question. Billy Lucci of Texas,
shame on them.
Who's the boss of the gentleman who asked the question? Joined John and Lance and talked about the timeline, and the reporting is now. We'll tell you the reporting when we come back. I mean, I could do it now, but I never said I would do it now.
Right now.
Unlike a Suns-Rockets trade that should happen
right now. No, still now.
In about 2 minutes from now, or maybe a little bit more, we will discuss the timeline regarding Schlossnagel now being the Texas head coach and how many guys he's taking away as far as assistants from the Aggie staff. And a little clue, it's a lot. We'll come back and talk about that.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Normally, because of our rules, I can make you wait for a segment because you've called in with a fake name. But Lil Salsa, who used to be La Salsa, but now is Lil Salsa, wants to talk A&M Texas. What's up?
Hey, I think the intern got my name wrong. It's La Salsa.
Okay, La Salsa.
Que pasó de Odalea?
This feels
Hey, do we need to do a wellness check on that Garrett caller from yesterday? I don't know. Can he call in with more fire or is he dead? What do you think?
I think our caller should call back in. He was very... Is defensive the word? I'm not sure, but he was very aggressive in his defense of Texas A&M. He referenced all the poop on the streets of Austin. He did preface it by saying he's been to both places, partied in both places, to give himself some cover. The belief of this show is that was not a Sam Houston State grad. That was an Aggie through and through. Or you know what? Maybe he did go to Sam Houston State, but he's still an Aggie. Maybe he's got family who's an Aggie. Who are Aggies, and he backs to school. And he called in a mere hours before the news came down that Schlossnagel is now the head coach at Texas. And I mentioned before we went to break about the staff he's taking. He's pretty much taking everyone. I think he's taking everyone but one guy who said, I would never work for Texas, so you can't get me. But everyone else out the door.
I thought it was just like one guy, just like
no, he didn't. Sucks. He didn't leave one guy behind,
or that, just like
at least this
we can do better than this.
This guy is positioning it as I would never work for Texas, so he can't have me. We'll see if we don't know if Schlossnagel actually wanted him anyway. But Texas gets their guy. They announced the firing of their previous head coach on the day of the final game of the national title series, and then hours after. Well, let's play what has got everyone upset. I mean, it's one thing to leave. Look, going to your rival or losing your head coach to the rival after losing the national title wasn't going to feel good. It never wasn't. But considering his strong defense of, you know, his job status and why he would never want to leave the great state of, well, not the state, the great area of College Station, Bryan College Station, excuse me. This had to upset some Aggies, and really it upset everyone from the Aggies to media members defending the guy who asked the question. It pretty much upset everyone but the Longhorns, and Sean is showing that fact by his Longhorn bandana. But here's the new coach of the Longhorns, the former coach of the Aggies, Jim Schlossnagel.
Coach, with respect to the difficult outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
A couple of things. The write that for emphasis was pretty special. And then when he said he was cool, he wasn't lying at any point until he said it hasn't changed in my mind. Because you can say I took the Texas A&M job to never leave it, and that could have been the case, and then a better deal came along when your good buddy, Chris Del Conte, came calling. But when you said it hadn't changed my mind, and all the people digging into it suggest that you already had that job and were already going to take it even before you got to the College World Series, then that's when you're lying to us. And it's fine to lie when you're a coach, as far as lie to me all you want. I don't think anything you guys say is true anyway. Like, so I don't hold coaches in a higher regard than any other normal person, which is the coach fandom is weird to me. Why would you think this person wouldn't lie to you? Like, why are they special? They're not special. They're men, in some cases women, who do things that they want to do. and what Schlossnagel wanted to do and what he felt was great for the family. He, you know, he left behind, apparently. I hope he's reunited with them. Is go to Austin.
They just have to go down 35
yeah,
now.
Yeah. I hope that familial situation that he was leaning on as a defense is all cleared away. By the way, it's not like he's only been at A&M for a year. He's been at A&M for three seasons. So leaning on, I left my family for this. Unless you actually left them and they're no longer, you're no longer married and you're estranged. All right. A bit of a push as far as trying to use it as a way to show your moral high ground. Enough. Don't listen to anything coaches say when it comes to things like this. They're not morally superior. They're just dudes and women who will look out for themselves, like the rest of us for the most part. Yes, you might find a certain coach who's altruistic and is all about the kids, and all he thinks about is what's best for the kids. But that's one out of, what, every 200? I don't know the number, but it ain't a great one.
There's a lot more Schlossnagels than there are altruistic. That's why it's also hard for us to name one.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even believe people are still suckered in by these guys and women. We just don't focus on that because we don't.
Thank you for always including the women. You know, the women coaches.
I'm sure
they can be scumbags too. That's very
Kim Mulkey.
That's what
people think. I don't know anything about it, but Kim Mulkey gets hit with that a lot. That's what it is.
Okay. Wow.
That's the one that you remember when you said you couldn't think of anyone who is altruistic? The one women's coach I could think of who people don't think is altruistic, Kim Mulkey.
Well, watch out. She was going to sue the Washington Post. She might sue you for this, too.
Coach Mulkey, I'm just relaying what people say about you. I have no basis of knowledge and no facts to back it up. I'm just telling you what you already heard.
Boyd, I've heard your reputation.
The failing Washington Post, I'm sure, will have another story about how terrible you are as a person, but I can't speak to that. Pena wants to talk about Texas. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's going on, Dale? So, man, it's just plain and simple. Texas is coming to take over the SEC in every aspect and every sport. Fucking horns, baby.
Simple enough.
Good call.
Would you rack them if we did that here?
Yeah, let's rack them.
Okay. Pena coming in with what Texas fans, at least in some cases, believe. Sure, it's the SEC, but we're Texas. And if we want your coach, we'll take your coach. I mentioned this yesterday that it is a shot across the bow of this rivalry if they got it done. And apparently it was way done before I even made that statement. It was done in the past.
It was done like weeks ago.
Like before the actual postseason started. It was apparently done after the A&M's final series of the regular season. That's what people are saying. And they just waited until the postseason was over.
Imagine if he would have won that. It would have been better if he would have won the national.
Yeah, win the national title. You leave the place with the national title, and then A&M people can.
They'd still be mad.
They will be mad, but they can say, "Hey, Texas ain't won one since 2005. You can leave, but clearly we're the better program." They would have been in real flux. Transfer portal is about to close. Decisions have to be made. We'll see if the Aggies can retain their players. We know they can't retain a coach when Texas comes calling.
Yeah.
The question will be, when that Texas coach comes calling for those players, will those players be like, you know what? Poop in Austin aside, pretty nice place to live. We'll see.
Poop in Austin aside.
According to one report from a disgruntled caller. I have no idea. I've been to Austin a couple of times. Never seen a street laden with poop. All I remember from Austin is 6th Street, which I don't even drink, but I remember 6th Street. And now what I take from it is all those, like, those social media interviews where people are just interviewing women and frat boys walking along 6th Street and other places in Austin, asking them questions about relationships. Would you ever do this if your man did this? It's always the same thing.
How much should a man make before the –
all the things. Do you like –
Talk
you,
to her. Your thoughts.
What do you think about short kings? Stuff like that. Those are the type of questions I get asked all the time. We'll see. We'll see if it's better to live in Austin than College Station if you're a baseball player who just lost in Game 3 of the national title series. That will be the question. Lose your players.
Yeah.
Lose your coach. Lose the assistants. But if he starts poaching players, the hate's already at another level. But if they lose like half of that talented roster to this guy, and they have to, the problem is, will the SEC do what's right? Because college baseball, you have, it's not like, you know, they don't play enough games where you can have a series on the road and a series at home. The first series of those two has to be in College Station. It SEC, if it means more, you put the first series in College Station. You don't wait for year two. You know, the first game is in College Station for football. Let's double it up.
Yeah.
Make the first series in College Station.
That's what happened when Chris Beard was hired at Texas. It wasn't the first, because the thing with college basketball is you can't make it the first conference game because students still aren't back on campus.
They're not there, yeah.
But it was like literally the first week after classes started at Texas Tech was Texas with Coach Beard going back to Texas Tech. So I imagine the SEC, you got to do something.
Greg Sankey, you know what to do. You know what you got to do.
Hey, don't order around Greg Sankey, right?
I didn't say.
That's my commissioner.
I didn't tell him.
Talking about.
I didn't tell. You can't even get through the sentence without laughing.
I can't wait to be an SEC person.
You already are.
No.
When are you officially in the SEC? July?
July 1st.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. We'll throw a party. Don't worry.
Is that why you're taking a day off next week? I mean, a delayed day off just to celebrate on that Friday?
Yeah.
That you're in the SEC?
Get a long weekend.
Yeah, I got July 4th and July 5th to celebrate the move to the SEC.
I have to drive to... Are the SEC offices in Birmingham?
Birmingham? Do you have to go to Birmingham?
Yeah, for a pilgrimage, you know? Like it's Mecca.
Just see the offices.
Yeah. Walk around. Check out the new digs.
Are you going to pray? At the feet?
Maybe. I don't know. If there's a statue of Mike Slive somewhere, I might leave a rose or something.
I'm sure. I imagine there are pictures of the first SEC title game. You got to take a picture in front of that. You have to. As Antonio Langham is running to the end zone.
There's a photo of the Alabama LSU national championship game.
All to commemorate the greatness of your new conference. You
George Jefferson getting sacked.
You're treating it. Yeah, you treat that 9-6 game before the title game in the regular season.
That was a great game.
You treat that like the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument. All great things happened to our country. The SEC providing all those moments.
It did.
It's a new day where A&M and Texas take their rivalry to another level. We need something in basketball to happen now.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think this will happen, but next year, if things don't go well for Buzz Williams, they got to hire Rodney Terry, right?
This is the reverse of what I'm talking about. This is hey, don't take Rodney away from us. Please don't.
I'm just saying that's how you'd get back at him.
A&M, you know what would really make us upset? If you hired Rodney Terry away from us.
Because Lord knows, I was thinking that, like, God, all of Chris Del Conte's hires have been just like the craziest moves, and firing a coach and then hiring his replacement the next day. I'm like, God, I kind of wish he had gotten a basketball, gotten to hire a basketball coach. Well, he did. That guy just hit his wife, but
yeah, things went poorly on that hire.
Another one. Hire another one. Just keep hiring coaches.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to hiring coaches.
The coaching carousel is pretty cool.
And next time, this is a Sean Mapes promise. Next time any Texas coach is on the hot seat, just know I will be fire him. Fire him, because I know the next guy is going to be awesome.
And the added benefit, we might take him away from our rival and not care one bit about it.
Maybe they hire Lon Kruger from Oklahoma, you know?
Do you really want Lon Kruger?
No, not really. No. It's tough. Basketball's tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
Although now they're in the SEC, so that's a whole new pet. They can hire Mark Pope away from Kentucky, maybe?
Bruce Pearl.
Oh, God.
Take Bruce Pearl away from Auburn. That's what I'm talking about. That's a little too much for you? Bruce Pearl's a step too far?
No, we got standards here.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take Patino away from Arkansas, can you?
Calipari.
Yeah, I said Patino. Calipari, yeah. Not yet, at least. Give it a couple years. We'll see.
Look, I need him to win some games. How about that?
Look, all that stuff you did in the teens.
Cool.
Ain't hitting right now.
Yeah.
Pick up the pace. Eric, I see you. You want to talk Longhorns. We'll get to you on the other side. Anyone else? 713-780-3776. We will get back to the Astros. Look, they're playing great. It's just not as fun to talk about them, mostly because it's more fun to discuss the emotion involved in the Longhorns Aggies thing, and even the Shingun Rockets thing. But we'll get back to the Astros. They're playing great. They've been the standard for a while, and they're getting back to it. So we'll discuss that in a little bit as well. But Eric, you're next when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
This will be a quick one as we wrap up Hour 1. Let's get to Eric. Eric wants to talk with the Longhorns. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. I was wondering, how do you feel about the 5 Longhorns making the swim team for the USA Olympics? And I heard that Hot Tour Girl, Haley Welch, is a Longhorn alumni. And there's a few callers from the show showing their pride last night at the Astros game. Good for them. I'll hang up and listen.
That's a lot. More in tune with what I have expected from Eric since this show started. I don't know if any of our callers were at the Astros game showing their pride. I don't know that to be the case. Haley Welch, don't know that she was a Longhorn grad either. I haven't heard that either. Feels like Eric just piling on. Oh, what was the other thing? Oh,
the Olympics.
Did you see that so many Longhorns made the swim team?
Yeah. I mean, they win the swim national championship every year, so
it would make some sense.
It makes sense.
It would definitely make
sense. That's how they win the Director's Cup so many times, because they're great at track and field and swimming.
Ah, yes.
Shout out to the Olympics.
A complete program at Texas. Yeah.
I don't know why Jim Schnossnagel would want to coach there.
They don't care about sports
just
in Texas.
They're successful at everything. Fact True. Or fiction, they're successful at everything.
Well, not to the highest degree in things we care about.
Whose fault is that? Care about the swim team.
Do you care about the swim team?
Yes. Shout out to Jacob Schooling.
You could be making that name up. I wouldn't know. You could have said any name. You could have said any name.
He won gold in the Rio Olympics.
2014?
16.
16, okay.
That's when I was a student there.
What have you done this decade, Jacob?
Whoa. I can look up what he did in the Tokyo Olympics.
I'm sure he was great. I'm sure he was, to be honest with you. I understand. Texas has been great in the things that don't get enough attention, I guess, for a long time. So understood.
Tell that to Carson Foster, Luke Hobson, Drew Kibler.
Are those your fraternity brothers? Who
no,
are they?
These are Longhorns that are going to make the.
Were they at the J school that you went to when you were at Texas?
No, they're probably all 19 years old. They made Paris. So
congratulations. Congratulations to hopefully you guys are the scumbags that Jim Schlossnagel is, yeah. Allegedly. Once again,
Aaron Shackwell.
These could be anybody. You could say they're swimmers. You could say they got arrested on 6th Street. I wouldn't know. You could be reading the Austin PD police report from last night. For all I know,
they actually all pooped on 6th Street. Actually,
but they would fit in right in Paris because apparently you can poop in the Seine in preparation for that body of water being used for the Olympics.
But Austin, the Paris of Texas.
Many people are saying it. Yes, Texas great at all the sports that the Olympics feature. And congratulations to that.
Flag football is coming to the Olympics.
I saw that. Are you guys good there too?
I don't know about flag football, but the tackle football team seems to be doing all right.
Yeah, that one year. Now all that confidence. It really is.
They're doing all right.
It really is disappointing.
I said all right.
It really is disappointing that they had a good year before the start of this show. And now it's going to be a full year of this from you about that team until Quinn Ewers ruins your season.
You really missed your window in 2021 to
destroy them. Well, who am I to say, considering who I root for? Joe, we'll get to Joe before we wrap up the hour. He wants to talk about the Rockets and UT. What's up, Joe?
Yes, hi. Hey, Dale. I think it would be a huge mistake to trade Sengun. I wouldn't even trade him straight up for Durant at this point. I mean, he's like the ghost of KD. He doesn't even play anymore or plays half the time. Huge mistake. Sengun could be an all-star for years to come. One other thing, I mean, what do you... what do you think about that? And also, before I go, Schlossberger from A&M to UT. I mean, kind of a sleazy move. Yeah, I agree on his part. But in the end, actions kind of speak louder than the words. I mean, there's a lot of chatter between UT and A&M. But the fact that he takes A&M to the World Series and comes within one game of winning and then immediately jumps ship to UT kind of speaks volumes about, I guess, which program and school is better. That's it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dale. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it, Joe. I was waiting for where that would end. It ended with, see Aggies, no matter what you do, no matter where you think you are, all it takes is one call from us and things can flip in our way. Joe, I'll get to the Shingun potential trade that Windhorst brought up when we come back. We're late. I appreciate you calling. We'll talk about that when we come back. Hour one over on the show. Once again, if you have any thoughts on the Schlossnagel thing, I guess he called him Schlossberger or whatever you might have called him. Schlossberg, I think he might have said. I don't remember. Schlossnagel is the name of the new UT coach. 713-780-3776. And yes, we'll get to the Astros and what they've done over the last week or so. Been pretty remarkable, the ground they've gained in the hunt for the division. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, you guys were talking about, hey, it's a long season. Now we're keeping track game by game as if there isn't still 2 months to go. But I get it. When you're hot, you look at the standings. When you're not, what do we care? It's like 2 months, 3 months ago. It doesn't matter right now. Winning changes all. We'll talk about that and more when we come back.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.